have the honor of introducing a topic, a very biblical topic, but one that we probably don't hear a lot about. And I'm going to preach a message on fasting, since you've been feasting, and you're probably even feasting the next day or so. But I want to present a message today. If you looked at your bulletin, we as elders have been seeking the Lord and praying, and we really believe that God's called us to a corporate fast beginning January 7th, 8th, and 9th next week. So we'll give you a few more days to feast if you desire. And I want to begin off by saying that a lot of people think fasting is like super Christianity. It's like, you know, graduate level Christianity. And but I would dare say it's probably Christianity 101. It literally is foundational Christianity. It's just that we don't hear a lot about it in our society. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a few things that Jesus teaches. And he's not just teaching a small group of people. He's teaching a multitude of people. And there's a few topics in Matthew chapter 6. And one of them is Jesus teaches about giving. Jesus teaches about prayer. Jesus teaches about fasting. Jesus teaches that you can't serve two masters. And Jesus teaches that we should put the kingdom of God first. Now, we've heard sermons on a lot of those, but one of those topics in that context of Scripture is the teaching of fasting. And today I'd like to discuss these teachings. But I want to start off my topic on fasting, bringing your attention back to a message that was preached last Sunday. If you remember last Sunday, we had a ladder up here. I think it was last Sunday, right? And Dana preached. And on this side of the ladder, there was these rungs of just these high steps. And they were very difficult to reach. And she was reminding us that it's not our human effort that gets us to God. The truth is, Emmanuel came to be with us. And it's God who comes from heaven down to greet us. And so I want to remind us that when we discuss fasting, fasting is not a discipline or a work that somehow gains us favor with God. You can't gain something you already have. We don't fast so that God will love us. We fast because God loves us. We don't fast because we're trying to somehow reach God. God calls us to fast because God has reached us already. He's touched our hearts and our lives. It's not a religious duty. Fasting should be something that God calls us to delight in. It should be something that is pleasurable, and you're thinking, I don't get that. I'm hoping by the end of the service, you'll have a desire to fast. Not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of longing and desire for Him. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 16, it says this. When you fast, can you say that with me? When you fast. Let's do it again. When you fast, don't make yourselves look sad like the hypocrites. They put a look of suffering on their faces so that people will see they are fasting. The truth is, that's all the reward they will get. So when you fast, let's do that again. So when you fast, wash your face. Make yourself look nice, as nice as you can. Then no one will know you're fasting except your Father who is with you, even in private. He can see what is done in private, and He will reward you. Now, this is Jesus talking to us. He says, when you fast, don't do it in such a way that you're bringing attention to yourselves, because if you do, then you're going to get that reward. You're going to get a reward that people think, oh, wow, you're special, or boy, look how disciplined you are, or you're going to have like the favor of man, and there's your reward, and that's about it. He says, but when you fast, do so in secret, because the Father who sees in secret, who's with you, he is going to reward you. Now, what is that reward? You know, I'm not really sure. It probably depends on what you're fasting for. But there is a promise from Jesus that says there is reward connected to fasting. Reward. Now, how many of you would like to be rewarded by the Father in heaven? Hey, I like getting rewarded by almost anybody, but the thought of being rewarded by the Father in heaven is a pretty exciting idea or concept. He goes on, and I want to say Jesus is not like other religious leaders, thank God. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, it says, then the followers of John came to Jesus and said, we and the Pharisees fast often, but your followers don't ever fast. Why? Now, how many of you know John was probably a pretty godly guy? And his disciples probably had a lot of things together. And they were fasting often. And so were the Pharisees. And so they come to Jesus and say, you know, hey, you know what? We just got to ask you this, all right? Because obviously you're a leader not like John. And you're a leader not like some of these Pharisees. And we're all following our leaders and we're all fasting, but your disciples don't ever fast. Why? And I love Jesus' response. Jesus answered, at a wedding, the friends of the bridegroom are not sad while he is with them. They cannot fast then, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. I had a busy weekend. I had a wedding rehearsal on Friday. Then I rushed to a debutante, which was amazing, although they go on forever, ladies. Like, I hung in for about 3 hours, and you were just getting warmed up, and I left. Because the next day, I had a wedding, and I had the privilege last night of doing a wedding of a young girl that I've known since she was 3 years old. And her mom used to help run the children's ministry when I was a senior pastor of my first church plant. And she got married. And I'll just be really honest with you. There was no fasting going on last night. It was a party. It was a feast. It was a celebration. It's supposed to be that way. And so Jesus is explaining to them, hey, these guys with me, they understand I am the bridegroom God, and they are with the bridegroom. And when you're with the bridegroom, you don't fast. But there's going to be a day that I'm leaving. And when I leave, they're going to miss me so much that they're going to fast. And so I would ask a simple question. Do we miss him? Are we longing for him? Is there something in our heart that is crying out, Maranatha, Lord, come soon, come quickly. I miss you. I want you. I have a spiritual son sitting in the front row with me, and there's a desire in his heart. He wants to be married. And there's a girl next to him, and she wants to be married, and there's a longing in their heart to be united as husband and wife. And my question to you, church, is, are you excited and looking forward and anticipating the day that you'll be with Christ as a bride and a bridegroom? He says, because if you are, and you are longing for that, then you will fast. It is something that you'll desire because you miss him and you long for him and you want to be with him. So why fast? Well, number one, because Jesus said we would. All right, amen. Let's go home. There's a couple other reasons, but for most of us, that should be a good enough reason to fast. The fact that he said we would fast. As a church, we are in a special season. As a family, in Acts chapter 13, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were some prophets and teachers. They were Barnabas, Simeon, also called Niger, Lucius from the city of Cyrene, Manian, who had grown up with King Herod, and Saul. Now listen to this. These men were all serving the Lord and fasting. When the Holy Spirit said to them, appoint Barnabas and Saul to do a special work for me, for they are the ones I have chosen to do it. We are in a process as a church. This church has a destiny. God has called the harvest to accomplish something in this world that is unique to us. That is a part of our DNA, a special work that we are called to do. Well, when the New Testament church was faced with this same challenge, realizing that there was a special work that they were called to do, it says that the leaders were fasting. They were serving the Lord and fasting. And it was then that the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them exactly which leaders were supposed to be chosen. It goes on and it says, so the church fasted and prayed. They laid hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them out. It wasn't just the elders fasting or a few church leaders. It said that the church came together and they fasted. We are asking you to join us as elders for 3 days, and maybe God will give you grace to fast even longer, that you would fast with us because there is a special work that God has called this house to do. And we need to hear from the Holy Spirit who exactly is supposed to be leading it. Who has God chosen, not man? Who has God chosen to lead? We need the Holy Spirit to speak. It goes on. In Acts chapter 14, it says, they also told the good news in the city of Derbe, and many people became followers of Jesus. Then Paul and Barnabas returned to the cities of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. In those cities, they helped the followers grow stronger in their faith and encourage them to continue trusting God. They told them, we must suffer many things on our way into God's kingdom. They also chose elders for each church and stopped eating for a period of time to pray for them. These elders were men who had put their trust in the Lord Jesus, so Paul and Barnabas put them in his care. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 14, that the church was growing and multiplying and maturing, but it needed additional eldership and additional leadership. We as a church need to increase our eldership. It needs to grow. It needs to expand. Well, how do you know who to choose? The Word of God says in Acts 14 that they prayed and they fasted. They sought God on who should be elders in the church. And then they laid hands on them. They put them over the care of the body. How many of you here would love to be led by elders who are chosen by God? And the reason you know they are chosen by God is because you joined in prayer and fasting and seeking the heart of God in his wisdom and his word in this area. So we're inviting you. Join us. Fast with us. Pray with us. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit and see what he says to us. Because there is a call of God upon this house. We are not finished. Our senior elder and our senior pastor has retired, but God has not retired Harvest Assembly of God. And the DNA that's been placed in this house under the leadership of Pastor David as our senior elder and leader, it's not done. We're not finished. And if he were preaching today, he would say, go church, don't stop. There's more that God has called us to do. I would say, not only are we as a church in a special season, the body of Christ is in a special season in this world. As the world grows darker, the church must grow brighter. Our light must shine. We must be a city that is set on a hill, that is not hidden, that brings hope to those who don't have hope, who brings joy to those that are full of sorrow, who brings healing to those who are sick and deliverance to those who are demonized. God has called us to a special season as a people. And I would dare say, I believe that God is calling the body of Christ in these last days to live a fasted lifestyle, not just to fast once in a while or occasionally, but to live what Jesus would call a fasted lifestyle. Why? Because we're longing for him. Because we're desiring his presence and his activity in our lives. The Bible says that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Now, how many of you know Christ in us is the hope of glory? He already abides in us. So what is he talking about drawing near to us? I believe what he is saying is that if you press in and draw near to God, his manifest presence draws near to you. The awareness of Christ in you becomes more real in your midst. I believe that we as a body and you as individuals, if you'll begin to fast and pray and draw near to God, you'll begin to experience the activity of his presence in your life like you never have before. You won't be going to church. You will become the church. You'll be not, we will never stop praying for the sick here, but the sick will be healed in the marketplace. Why? Because the manifest presence God is resting upon your life because you are drawing near to him through prayer and through fasting. I believe that we live in a world that is full of distractions. I believe one of the reasons God is calling the body of Christ to fasting, because it's a season of laying aside distractions. Now, when you think of fasting, you automatically think of setting aside food, and that definitely is fasting. But I think there's many things we can fast besides food. I think we live in a world so full of distractions that God's going to call some of you to lay aside some distractions, to fast those things. Do you remember God's words to Mary and Martha? Martha was so busy in the activity of the church and so busy in the activity of taking care of the practical needs of Jesus that she became distracted. But her sister somehow was not distracted. She sat at his feet and gazed upon his beauty. You know, it's really interesting. When I travel light. If I'm going less than 2 weeks or less than 3 weeks, I just carry two of these. I don't check bags. I carry them on. But you know what? After a 27-hour trip to the Philippines, bless you, Ian. Even bags like this become heavy. There's a young man I met at the Chesapeake Juvenile Detention Center. His name's Isaiah, and he says he's going with me to the Philippines this summer because he wants to share Jesus with people the way people share Jesus with him. I try to encourage my young people to travel light when you're on mission for God. But you realize we're all on mission for God? And some of us are weary and tired. Do you want to know why? We're carrying too much stuff. And part of fasting for some of us is to start unpacking a few things that are in our lives, emptying out our bag a little bit, making a little bit more room. So we have what? Time for Him. Maybe it's a television show. Maybe it's a TV. I am not a legalistic person when it comes to certain things. But I will challenge us. If you want to draw near to Him, you have to draw away from something else. If you want to fast, you have to lay down something to pursue something that's better. I believe that God will call many of us to a fasted lifestyle that, like Mary, the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are getting worried and upset about too many things. Only one thing is important. Mary has made the right choice. It will not be taken away from her. Some of you this year are going to make the right choice. You're going to begin to live a fasted lifestyle. It's going to include fasting of food, but it's going to include fasting of so many other things that aren't evil. They're not wrong. They're not even forbidden by God. But you're willingly, not out of self-sacrifice and gutting it out in some sense of discipline of earning favor with God, but you're going to take them and you're going to lay them aside because you say, God, I'm hungry for you. You know one of the beautiful things about fasting food is? You get hungry. And when you get hungry, it reminds you that if you can hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. So when your stomach growls because you're laying aside food for a season, all of a sudden you realize, is my spirit man grumbling and hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Because if it is, I'm going to be satisfied. I meet many believers who are so faithful to attending services and even serving in areas of worship, but you're not satisfied. God is calling you to fast, to a fasted lifestyle. He said, come to me, all of you who are tired and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Accept my teachings. Learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in spirit. And you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. Is that what the call of God on your life looks like? Is it light? Is it easy? Or is it a burden? Sometimes more is not better. Sometimes, church, less is better. The fasted lifestyle, after all, Jesus did say, whenever you fast, which could almost be translated, if and when you fast. Fasting, by definition, is the abstaining from food, but it goes far beyond that. It's our desire to position our hearts before God in such a way that we experience Him like never before. How do you fast? Food. Tons of books on it. Have you ever had more books in your library about stuff than you actually do the stuff? I stopped buying books on prayer. I was too much conviction to look at them all. About 3 or 4 months ago, we reopened the Whisper Room over here for the young people. There's a saying in the Whisper Room: we desire to create and sustain holy space in a real world. A world of school, a world of study, a world of ballet and dance and soccer. But we create a room where they can go and sit and they can paint and they can draw and they can pray and they can read the scriptures and they can set time aside to be with Him. Fasting things that distract us from intimacy. It's different for all of us. In our marriages, you can lack intimacy if you get too distracted. But for each couple, that's something different. In our relationship with Christ, things can distract us from intimacy with Him. You know what He wants more than anything else? You. Your heart. Not your stuff that you do. He literally said Mary chose the best thing. How do you fast? With faith. That if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. You fast with expectation that you're going to hear His voice. Do you want to know why? Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. For some of us, we need to fast the noise so we can hear the voice. It's too loud. It's nonstop. Constantly. People laugh. I have a Jeep. I haven't on my Jeep, but I usually, every time I buy a car, I upgrade the sound system, then never turn it on. True story. My kids again, it's like, dude, your sound system kicks. I'm like, yeah, I don't know that. But yeah, I paid a lot for it, but I drive around in silence. Why? Because I live in a noisy world. And I try to listen to God while I drive. I preached this message this morning with caution. And I'm going to share a verse and tell you why. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, it says this in part. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrine of demons. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. But I preach this message in faith to myself, to you. When Jesus said, you fast, the Father who is in secret will see you, and He will reward you. I long for my Father's reward. I long for the Father's reward upon this house. He has one for us, but it's promised through fasting. When When they needed new leadership, they fasted. When they knew there was a special call upon their house, they fasted. Join us. Some of you, it will extend far beyond 3 days. It will expand in many different areas of your life. Some of you in 2018, you will give more money into the work of the kingdom of God for the furtherness of the for the expansion of the gospel more than you ever had before, without one dime of a raise. Because you're going to live a fasted lifestyle when it comes to your money. And you're going to simplify your lives, like Harold was talking about. And you're going to realize, I've simplified my spending and I have all this money now. Now I'm going to sow it in to the kingdom. Some of you are going to have so much more time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to gaze upon his beauty and to enjoy his presence more than ever before. Because you're going to fast things that rob you of time, and you're going to set them aside because there's something better than just being busy. Some of you are going to fast food more than you ever have in your entire life. And some of you, on a regular basis, are going to experience hunger. Not because of self-sacrifice, but because of godly desire for presence. And every time at lunch, when your stomach growls, and everybody else is going out to eat, and you go to your car, and you put on some worship music, and you lean back, and you're going to say, Maranatha. I am your bride, and I long for my bridegroom. Come quickly, Jesus, and his presence is going to invade your car. And you're going to walk into work a different person than you walked out before lunch. Oh, not because you're punching a clock or trying to show off in front of a bunch of people, but because you have a Father who loves you and sees in secret, and he desires to reward us. Amen? Let's pray. If you just bow your heads just for a moment. If you're here this morning, and you would say, you know, I don't know if I really even know the Father in heaven. Fasting will not get you to heaven. The sacrificial death of God's only Son, hanging upon a cross, shedding his blood, dying for you, then raising from the dead, is the only thing that will guarantee your salvation. If you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life, you've never surrendered yourself to him and said, take my life. I want the Father in heaven to be my Father. Then I encourage you today in this house, say yes to him. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. We prayed for my grandson today, that one day he will do exactly that. He'll just surrender his life to his Creator. For those of you that are sitting here today, and you're tired and weary, can I encourage you in 2018? Live a fasted lifestyle. Start laying some stuff down so you can just sit at his feet. For some of you where the world, the noise is so loud, can I encourage you to live a fasted lifestyle and maybe turn the TV off? Turn the music off. Sit in a chair with palms facing up and just say, Abba, I belong to you. All I want is you. For those of you who have never fasted food, study it. There's lots of good Christian books on it, but can I encourage you? For a meal, for a day, for a few days, push the plate away. And say, Lord, I'm pushing the plate away. And I'm asking you to come. Because I want to desire you more than I desire food. We are a country, if we're honest, of excess. There are some countries, they get one meal a day because that's all they have. For us, we would call that fasting. For them, they call it life. Can I encourage you to stand with the elders in faith and believe that as we dedicate this time to prayer and fasting, that God will clearly, through the Holy Spirit, show us the great work he has for us and who's supposed to lead. And as we expand eldership, who's supposed to be a part of it? Will you join us in fasting and seeking God? And now would you all look at me? Because I just want to say this to you. Will you in faith believe that the Father has a reward for your fast? I can't wait to hear the testimonies, because it's going to be different for so many of you, that the reward the Father has for you. Jesus promised it, that there's a reward for your fast. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to live a fasted lifestyle in 2018 and to walk in the reward of our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.